We invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 11 through 16. I want to speak to you on the subject, whose servant are you? We all serve somebody. We either serve the Lord Jesus Christ or we serve the devil. And there's no other options. You say, well, I'm my own man, I do my own thing. But the truth is, that's deception. Somebody is being served by you with every decision you make. You're either part of the solution or you're part of the problem. And God has called us to be a part of the solution. We're the salt of the earth. He says if the salt loses its savor, who's going to salt it? So we have a responsibility to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 through 16. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your goodness to us. We thank you for Jesus that died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we stand as sinners saved by grace, waiting for your reception into heaven. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of security. Lord, I pray that you would search my heart, remove anything from me that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me, and use me as your instrument. Teach us your truth, open our understanding, that we may grasp your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the idea of servitude is something that we don't often think about. But the truth is, we're serving somebody with every decision that we make. And so many times, we get in the flesh and we don't know we're in the flesh, and the devil has control of our lives. And as I was studying this, the Lord just spoke to my heart, and I had the question, do I really want the devil designing my future? That's a pretty serious question, isn't it? I'm going to tell you what the devil wants for you. The devil wants to kill you. The devil wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy everything you love. He wants to pull you down and trample you into the dirt. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to prepare you for heaven. Whenever we choose to sin, we think, well, there's no consequence to that sin. We're deceiving ourselves. There is always a consequence to sin. And that consequence just keeps on pulling us away, because you see, as soon as we step out from under the umbrella of God's protection, we step into the control of the devil. The Christian cannot be possessed, but we can willfully serve the devil. And when we choose to sin, that's what we're doing. I want you to see the condition that we're in. Look what he says here in verse 11. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Understand, we are dead to sin. You know when that happened? When you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. At that moment, you died to the old. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There was an end to my relationship to the first Adam. And there was a beginning to my relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Adam, we died. In Jesus, we're made alive. And so we're dead to sin. The Bible says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Our sins had killed us, had destroyed who we were. But the Lord saved us out of all of that. And he has made in us a new creature, and that new creature is totally free from sin. Now, what does that mean? Well, there's a part of us that's sealed until the day of redemption. That's our spirit. That part never sins again. Now, the flesh still sins. That's the reason we have a choice to make. We can either live after the spirit, or we can live after the flesh. If we live after the flesh, the devil will control us and will destroy us. But if we live after the spirit, then we will enter into eternal life right now. We will enjoy the eternal benefits of our relationship to Jesus Christ while we're on this earth. But if we fail to do that, then all that's left is serving the devil. You see, the Bible says in Colossians 3:3, "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." That's pretty secure, isn't it? You're dead to sin, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's good security right there. And so we need to understand that. You cannot be forced to sin as a Christian. You have to choose it. Because sin cannot have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. See, God wants us to understand that. The condition right now for every Christian is that we are free from sin, we're dead to the law, and we are completely secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been delivered, already delivered. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians 1:9-10. "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." When we received Christ as our Savior, we was delivered from death right then. We're talking about eternal death. And he is delivering us step by step from the daily death of sin that is in us. And then one day he's going to take us completely out of the very presence of sin. And we will be with him in a condition to where we will never, ever be able to sin again. That's going to be a wonderful state to be in. But you see, the problem is, we still have a dual situation in our life. Listen to what he says here in 2 Corinthians 4:6-7. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And listen to verse 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." That's important. You see, that's the reason we still have a choice. God has left us in our sinful flesh with this spirit that is sealed for heaven. Now, I've often wondered why God didn't just go ahead and finish the thing and make us holy flesh and spirit. But the truth is, we wouldn't be able to really witness to sinners that way. You see, when if we were completely holy, the sinner would look at us and say, "I can't be like that. I've tried to be good. I can't be good." But when they look at us, who are sinners saved by grace, and they see that we have not yet been delivered from our sinfulness, then they can say, "Well, if God did that for them, do it for me." See, our testimony is not a testimony of live like us and get to heaven. Our testimony is put your trust in Jesus like we do and go to heaven. Because we're just sinners saved by grace. So God left us in this sinful flesh. But that can be a real problem if we live in that sinful flesh. We have to know that we're in a sinful flesh, but we do not have to live there. Because God has set us free from that. And he gives us a choice. Now listen to this. Verse 12 and 15 through 15 of our text. "Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof." Now, that little word "let" is real important. That means you've got a choice. You can either let it reign in your body, or you cannot let it reign in your body. So he says, he commands us as Christians to not let sin reign in our mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Now look what he said. He says, we have a responsibility not to submit to the devil when he has plans for our life, but to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time the devil presents an opportunity for sin, he's going to really give it a good sales talk. He's going to say, there's a lot of pleasure here. You're sealed. You can't lose your salvation. You might as well go ahead and enjoy this sin. And who's harmed by it? But there's the Holy Spirit. And he says, don't do that. Plain and simple. And whenever you hear that voice and you say, I shouldn't do that, then you got a choice. You can either obey the devil and become his servant immediately, or you can obey the Lord and the devil has to flee. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Listen to the devil, he'll have you in his trap. And I don't know about you. I don't want the devil running my life, because I don't have any confidence in his ability to help my life at all. I know if the devil could, he'd kill me. If the devil could, he would use me to destroy other people. But you see, the Lord has a better plan. The Lord wants us to uphold one another, to strengthen one another, to pray for one another, and to help the situation of our world by living godly in Christ Jesus. That's the Lord's plan. And he directs us. And he will give us step-by-step instructions if we just listen to him. I want you to know this choice has to be made daily. You know, a lot of us have the little plaque on our door. It says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a good plaque. But I want you to know that's not a one-time decision. That's a moment-by-moment decision. It's a daily decision. Listen to what Joshua says here. Joshua 24, 14, 15. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which our fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now understand what he's saying here. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. We've got to make that decision every day of our life, every moment of our life. Every time sin is offered, we have to choose. Are we going to serve the Lord, or are we going to serve the devil? Whenever we choose to serve the devil to enjoy the pleasures of sin, we're stuck. You see, once you get into the flesh, only God can get you back out of that. And the devil will try to blind you. He will try to make you think one way when the truth is another way. You see, the devil is deceptive. Have you figured that out yet? He doesn't tell it like it is. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says this: be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. Now notice, the first part of that says, don't be deceived. That gives us an indication that that is a real problem. The devil is very clever, and he offers things in a way that you're going to be attracted to those. And so if we just go into things blind, We're going to choose wrong a lot of the times. But you see, the Lord has a way of directing us if we just are sober and vigilant, the Bible says. How do we do that? We have a steady diet of the Word of God. We have to keep on studying God's Word. Because if we put the Word from us, before long, the direction is from us. And before long, we will begin to listen and choose just out of our human thinking. God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to choose not just to resist the temptation, but to serve the Lord. See, we have to make a complete change. A lot of people go through life just dealing with temptation one at a time. Nope, not going to do it. Nope, not going to do it. Nope, not going to do it. And they never have made the transition to where they're serving the Lord with every thought, bringing every imagination into the control of the Lord. You see, when we serve the devil, it's deadly. Very deadly. Listen to what he says here. Romans 8, 10 through 13. It's an important passage of Scripture, and a lot of people misunderstand this passage. But listen to what he says. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, that is a statement of fact. That's not a could be. That is the way it is. The sin of our flesh still has our flesh on the road to death. Okay? But our spirit is alive eternally when we receive Christ as our Savior. If Christ is in you, this is the state of affairs in your life. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Now listen, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now how do we interpret that? Well, first off, you have to understand, he's not talking about physical death. Because whether you walk in the spirit or you live in the flesh, you're going to die. It's appointed unto me and wants to die, and after this the judgment. If the Lord doesn't come back, we're all going to die. Because the sentence of death is in our flesh. So what's he mean here when he says, if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. But if you live in the spirit, you're going to live. What's he mean? If our life is focused on this world, there's an end to that. But if our focus is on heaven, we just leave this body, go into our new body, and there's life right on through. You ought to be living in your eternal life right now. You ought to be enjoying the pleasures of heaven right now on this earth as you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. John puts it like this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the world passes away. But he that does the will of the Father abides forever. The idea there is where your focus is. If you're focused on this life and what you can get out of this life and what you can gain in this life, one of these days, you're going to leave all that behind. But if your focus is on heaven and laying up treasures in heaven, then one day when you finally leave this world, you're going to walk right into heaven and just keep on serving the Lord. If you're serving him now, you'll be serving him then. Now, what's the consequences of our choice? Every choice has a consequence, good and bad. If we choose to serve the Lord, it's a good consequence. If we choose to serve the devil, it's bad. Listen to what he says in verse 16. Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. That is a very important verse. We don't just choose to sin and just have no consequence. There's always a consequence. Listen to this. The father of lies is your father of your flesh, and therefore, when you become his servants, you do what he commands. That's the reason people get into sin that they don't know how to get out of. It's because they've yielded themselves to be the servant of the devil. And the devil just takes them captive at his will, whatever he wants to. I've had people tell me, I've got this habit in my life, I cannot quit doing it. I've tried with everything I've got, I cannot quit doing it. There's your problem right there. Whenever you yield yourself servant to the devil, you're serving the devil no matter what you're doing. If you're serving the Lord, you're serving the Lord no matter what you're doing. You see, a lot of people are doing things, teaching Sunday school, preaching, doing whatever, the whole time serving the devil. Simply because they have yielded themselves in some area of their life and they can't recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Dangerous thing. Listen to John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's a description of what the devil is. You see, the Lord just takes all that pretty outside picture away, and you see the devil. He's a liar. And everything he says is wrong. The devil would lie when the truth is better. And he is the one that's in charge of your life if you submit to him. If he offers a pleasure of sin, he says, you can enjoy this, nothing's going to come of this, and you take the bait, you're his servant. Don't you know, whoever you yield yourself service to obey, his servant you are? And what's he going to do with that? He's not going to plan you a good life, I promise you that. He's going to keep tripping you up and leading you further and further into sin. You see, there is a repentance that people try to go through that's not effective, because they do not give up that control that the devil has, because they still reserve for their flesh the pleasures of sin. And they keep going until the devil figures out how to destroy them. I have watched the devil take men and women and destroy their marriages when they never would have thought that would have happened. I've seen the devil destroy homes. I've seen people commit suicide. All these things because the devil gets control of their life in some area. And he just keeps pushing them and pushing them until finally they say, there's no reason to live, and they kill themselves. And we're talking about Christian people here. People who have received Christ as their Savior, but they're living in the world, not willing to submit to God. You see, in Sunday school this morning, we studied in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, where he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, that's that same word, let. Let it happen. Let God control your mind. And then he gives us a description of what that looks like. If you want to see what that looks like, what the mind of Christ looks like, read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He gives us our attitudes. He gives us our actions. And then he gives us an invitation to come to him. All you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You see, when we really choose to serve God in every area of our life, we're protected by God. And he keeps us. And we are the servant of the living God. But whenever we choose to serve the devil, we're on a dead-end street. And his ultimate plan for you is your destruction. First thing he wants to do is destroy the very quality of your life. No joy. The Bible says, there is no peace, saith my God, for the wicked. You may have a little pleasure, but there's no peace. And it's going to eventually bring you to the place of destruction. There's moral destruction. Then there's physical destruction. When God begins to take away from you everything you love, because the devil has led you astray. Fellowship is extremely important. 1 John chapter 1, he tells us, if you say you have fellowship with God and walk in the darkness, you deceive yourself. Can't happen. You say, well, I walk in the darkness part of the time. Then you have fellowship part of the time. Sometimes even that is deception. Listen to what he says here. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. See, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we don't understand. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now you see, whenever we make these choices, life has to be brought down to increments. We don't live life years at a time. We live life moments at a time. And we cannot guard every thought without first surrendering every thought to Christ. Whenever we decide we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, when Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, he was talking about incrementally, moment by moment, doing what the Holy Spirit says to do. Now, you can do that. Beth used to get all upset when she had a lot of homework to do. We had this little saying that we would tell her. You have to eat an elephant one bite at a time. You can't do it all at once. By the yard is hard, by the inch it's a cinch. See, whenever we understand that, it applies to Christianity just like everything else. You can decide not to sin every time sin is offered. One of the big problems in the deception is this. The devil wants you to think you can toy with sin and then see if you want to do it or not. But you see, you can't do that. And if you don't understand what you're signing up for every time you decide to let your anger out, or every time you decide to judge somebody, or every time you decide to look at something you shouldn't look at, or do something you shouldn't do, you understand you're signing up to be the servant of the devil for however long it takes for you to wake up and walk away from it. And for a lot of Christians, that's a lifetime. Just saying I'm sorry for this one thing I've done doesn't get the job done, does it? Because the devil still got you on the leash and he just pulled you down every time he wants to. The Bible says that we must instruct those that oppose themselves. Peradventure, God will grant them repentance that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Instruction is this. You have got to hang on to the Lord Jesus Christ with every fiber of your being and never give place to the devil. Because if you do, you're his. And even your thought processes are going to be controlled by the devil. It's hard to turn back to God under those situations, because he just keeps on pushing and keeps on pushing and keeps on pushing, and you keep going deeper and deeper and deeper till you can't even see the way back. But it all starts with a decision to toy with sin. The bait always has to look good, doesn't it? If you go fishing and you put a rock on your line and throw it out there, you're not going to catch much. You have to have something that looks appetizing to a fish. Might not be something you would eat, but something that fish really like. And they take the bait and they get the hook. The devil plays the same way. He keeps throwing bait till he finds something you like. He can't read your mind, but he can just keep throwing out different bait. And all of a sudden, you grab onto it. He writes that down. Okay, I know what his weakness is. Next time he comes fishing for you, he knows the bait. And you jump on it. That's what the Bible means when he says you're taken captive by him at his will. So, okay, Brother Allen, how do I get out of this? You've got to turn totally and completely back to the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't care what happens. I'm going to live in the center of your will. You direct my life, and I'll surrender whatever you want. You see, pride goes before destruction. Humility goes before victory. Humility is not a sad-looking face. Humility is an understanding of absolute dependence upon God. I can't afford to meddle with sin. I must have Jesus in control of my life. Whenever we get to that point and we lay down every idol, you notice when Joshua is trying to get these people to turn to God, he begins to name what they've got to lay down. He said, those gods over in Egypt, the gods that were here in this land before the Lord sent you to conquer this land, serve whoever you want to. But you see, there's things to lay down before you serve the Lord. We sign up to serve the Lord, a lot of times we don't even know what we're talking about. He gives us a list of our attitudes. We don't have the right to judge. We don't have the right to be proud. We don't have the right to do any of that. When we take that right, we signed up with the devil. Somebody says something to you and you go on guard and you say, oh yeah, you're another one. You just signed up with the devil. You say, wait a minute, I'm not going to be a doorman. I'm going to let people walk on me. Do you know whose responsibility it is to protect you? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and humbled himself. He took upon himself the form of a servant. You see the mind there? A humble mind does not get even. The humble mind does not retaliate evil for evil. We have to watch our attitude and we have to watch our actions and bring them all under the control of the Lord. Because you can't be a part-time disciple. It's either all for Jesus or it's all for the devil. I haven't known that all my life because the devil's pretty deceptive. But you know something? Now that I know that, I don't want the devil running any part of my life. I'd rather have Jesus than anything in the world. So when sin is offered, read the price tag. Now the devil will tell you, oh, you can get this on easy payments. This is, all you've got to do is once you sin, you just go and tell Jesus you sin and he's happy to forgive and you can just enjoy your sin and be right with God. But you see, the price tag is there. Servitude to the devil. Don't you understand? Whoever you yield yourself service to obey, his servant you are. Period. Whatever gets us there, we've got to undo. Whatever attitude opens us up to the devil, we've got to fix. or we're taken captive by him and his will. The Lord has called us to freedom. Listen to John chapter 8, verse 31 through 36. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whomsoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." That's what God's called us to. Jesus will save you just the way you are. Whatever sin there is in your life, the Lord will save you and forgive that. But you see, he saved you to set you free. Sin is a problem in your life. Sin is not something that we're better off just to hide in the closet and forget about, visit every so often. Sin will destroy us. Sin will destroy your home, your children, your grandchildren. Sin breaks up families. Sin kills. The wages of sin is death. So the Lord says, when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Are you free this morning? Or does the devil take you captive at his will? Whenever he takes an ocean, do you go down? Don't just try to fortify whatever area you're falling in. Go back and submit yourself, servants to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll take care of the rest. I believe in America, we have Christians all across this nation who are serving the devil. And our culture is suffering because of it. Let's not be in that number. Let's turn our lives totally and completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, let me tell you, Jesus loves you. You can come just as you are, and he'll save you. He loves you enough to save you, sinner though you be. But he loves you too much to leave you that way. He'll set you free. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises of your word.